Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Believers, I hope you're ready to make double the amount of sacrifice this week, because not only are we talking episode 3, but we're talking episode 4, and we've got a very special guest right here on the Lucha Underground After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That is right. Guys, we're talking all about sacrifice right here on the Lucha Underground After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV. It's about that time. We missed y'all last week. We hope you had a very fun and safe Independence Day, if that's what you celebrate. If not, we hope you had a very fun and safe Wednesday night. But it is a party.
Try not to have a seizure right now.
It is a party in here. Guys, my name is Ty Matthews. As always, y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. To my left, been here since day one. You can find him online at Jimbo in the Booth. He's Jimbo in the Booth. James Frank.
Hi. Let's talk Lucha.
Let's talk Lucha. And speaking of the OG Lucha Underground after crew. Yep, it's the after crew. I just made that up. To Jimbo's left, our absolute, just one of our favorite humans on this planet Earth. He used to be the guy on the ones and twos. Now he's right here on camera behind a mic. Is this the first time that that's ever happened on the show?
I think it's like third or fourth.
Okay, third or fourth. Guys, you can find him online at Mark B. Donica.
You can find me there.
You can find him online at Mark B. Donica. Let's try that again.
Use take two.
Mark B. Donica.
You can find me online at Rachel Same Vans.
It depends on how your brain works.
Yep.
Rachel, conspicuous by her absence, she's doing con-related things. She'll be back soon enough. But God,
it's
we
the
have,
light of Jesus!
It was the sacrifice light, because everything went dark, and then they disappeared.
Exactly. They're living in the Creed dimension now.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Creed dimension.
Antonio Cueto took them higher.
Guys, we have got a lot to cover. We started very late, and we've got two whole episodes to talk about, and a lot happened in those episodes, so let's get into it.
Go!
Let's go. I guess I start.
You're the lead!
Let's talk Big Bad Steve. Mark, we haven't gotten a chance to get your thoughts on Big Bad Steve. What do you think about Big Bad Steve?
What the hell is Big Bad Steve?
He's a bad bitty, Pootie Tang would say.
He's a big old bad bitty, but, I mean, he's very enjoyable when he's in the ring, but he's kind of like, he's given me better Brooklyn Brawler vibes, but just the kind of like, hey, he's giving it a good shot here.
Yeah, giving it the old college try.
He looks like he's an extra from No Holds Barred.
I could see that. I could see that. Sure. Absolutely. Like he maybe ran with Zeus's crew. Yeah.
South Bronx Brawler.
There you go.
Lug Wrench was one of the guys' names.
Big Bad Steve. Big Bad Steve is such a good, like, 80s movie kind of like red shirt sort of name.
He fits right in here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No doubt.
Exactly. Yeah, he is the temple perfectly encapsulated in one person, in one persona.
Mechanic.
In one mechanic, exactly. And especially seconded by the beautiful Brenda, friend of the show, one of our absolute favorite people. A comedic genius.
A little personal note about her. I was at Joey Ryan's 4th of July party.
Okay.
And she was standing there waiting for fireworks to go off in the background.
Uh-huh.
And she had her man, like, taking pictures while this was happening, trying to time it perfectly so that it would be her with the fireworks going. It was,
how long did that take?
Oh, man, it was like 20 minutes, but it was the entire time. Okay, wait, go. Did you get it?
She's always on.
Okay, wait again.
I love it.
Okay, do it again. Did you get it? Okay, go get
it. Hot tip. Take a video and then go back to the moment where it explodes and take a screenshot of the video.
Genius.
I was like, just burst it. Just Mark, keep taking pictures.
Mark Donaga has been full of genius ideas. We didn't. We had popcorn at the studio. We didn't have any popcorn bags, and he had the genius MacGyver idea of using a coffee filter. That's just a fun little life hack for you. Let's get back to the action. Let's talk the reptile tribe.
Oh, I'm so happy nothing has changed.
On Lucha Underground.
Oh boy.
They're slippery.
Not Lucha Underground, Worldwide Underground. I put LU on the whiteboard because I'm dumb. Worldwide Underground versus the Reptile Tribe. Whoa. I'm very happy that Daga is back for one. Like, I feel like his first run, he didn't really get a lot to, I'm sorry, sink his teeth into. But I think it's a lot better this time around.
He was getting sexually harassed the whole time.
Yeah.
Before. And now he just gave in, and now she's his queen, and, you know, cutting off heads.
Yeah. Yes. So. She's the reptile queen, yes.
Yes.
but I love this mixed tag team action. Got Johnny Mundo, got Taya, got Daga, got Cobra Moon. After the match, the reptile tribe is sort of almost holding Taya and PJ Black hostage.
Yeah, they're choking each other with the other's arm.
Exactly.
It's really cool.
It's such like kind of an older sibling thing to do.
Quit hitting yourself.
It's the get along submission.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So we'll see where this goes. I feel like this whole feud has a lot of legs.
Snakes. Even if snakes don't. Vibora kicked ass,
I forgot,
man. Holy crap!
I forgot that was my favorite part of this entire segment. Is
House
just
of
like
fire.
Showing off his like handsprings and his super kicks, and
he does good lucha stuff.
He's a luchasaurus for a reason. Yeah.
With his new mask and everything, mm-hmm. He can actually talk.
Brief. That new mask is so much better.
Yeah, I don't know why, but even though it's clearly his beard, mm-hmm. It accentuates the snakeness of it. I don't know why.
I can see that.
But it's just like darkness, and it gives him more of like a maw.
Right.
I don't know why, but it does a lot for me.
It's like Mortis's mask.
Kind of. It reminds me a lot of Mortis.
He knows his beard, but it was still just so cool. It's like, oh, is he really hairy? Like a wolf man?
The beard is like, it's like real life stippling. It's like real life comic stippling is what it is.
Nice.
And his eyes, whatever contacts he's wearing, I think really lends themselves. Lens crafters.
Lens. Ty, you're on fire tonight.
I hate everything. Speaking of on fire, not to go on too much of a tangent, I was on the freeway and I passed by a truck that was holding an NBA Jam arcade machine. So, on fire. It all comes full circle.
It
was foreshadowing, is what I'm saying.
Did you hit it three times and then it burst into flames?
Hold down that turbo button. Oh, boy.
I was always the Spurs.
I think I was...
Because they had Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Spurs are strong. Chicago Bulls.
I knew Dennis Rodman and I knew Shaquille O'Neal, and those are about all the basketball players I could name.
Same
Irish
basketball players.
Not much better now.
Yes!
Stick my tail. But yeah, so a lot of good stuff from Vibora. I'm hoping that this is leading towards like more of a focus on him going forward. Because that was the feeling that I got after seeing this segment is that, he should be, you know, in the title picture.
Yeah,
at this
he should
point.
Be your front man of the Snake Tribe. He's the biggest guy in your group.
The front man, like it's a rock band. Yeah.
He's going to creed it out.
Yes, exactly.
We did miss Big Bad Steve losing to Jake Hager at the beginning, but...
Okay, that's what I thought.
The straw man.
We talked about that. We talked a little... We got sidetracked by Big Bad Steve. That's
what
it was.
He's the straw man.
Well, I promise we were getting to that, and we got... Jake Strong kind of got overshadowed by Big Bad Steve.
As things do.
It might happen a lot this season, to be honest.
Big Bad Steve got his ankle broken after I guess, the match, or at the end of the match. So... We could be watching this collision course with, like, Jake Strong breaking ankles and Pentagon Dark breaking
arms.
What
if he just gets rid of everyone in Famous Inc.?
I mean, that's it's aiming kind of low.
Yeah, because, he was supposed to be in the group, and then he said no, so he takes out Famous B, and now he takes out Big Bad Steve.
Big Bad Steve.
Oh, God, so, like, Brenda next?
Yeah.
Maybe. Very well, maybe. Yeah.
Who else?
Wasn't there someone else?
There was
the third.
One more.
Who was the third? Who was the third?
He was a Lucha.
It's Big Bad Steve. It was.
Well, it used to be Dr. Wagner.
Strong, and it was.
Chat correct.
Oh, it was Sammy Guevara.
Oh yeah,
that's Ooh. Who it was.
Please don't hurt that kid.
Yeah,
that kid's.
What are they so correcting us on?
Nothing yet, but Duke Togo. Third down.
Great name.
The old mask looked creepier. This one looks like one of the Land Before Time dinosaurs.
I think that's backwards. I think the old one looked like
it. Doesn't look like little
weird cartoon dinosaur.
Little Luchasaurus.
No, this one
Land
looks
Before
like
Land Before Time or Land of the Lost.
Land Before Time dinosaurs.
Oh, okay. Land of the Lost might actually.
I was like Land of the Lost. That was pretty badass.
Man, he looks like a scaly devil. You know,
it's the real. Snake.
You know, one of those guys. While I'm
on fire,
I very much am. While I've got your attention. Let me holler at you, playa. I think that's how I want to lead into this from now on. Let me holler at you, playa. And we'll queue up like Teddy Long's music. Guys, here at AfterBuzz, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. That's everything from drama to reality TV to sci-fi and everything more. There is no network, absolutely no network, that works harder to serve TV fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Now, by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And guess what? You'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow just like we've been doing. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, hey, don't be, because they're optional. It's 2018. You can just click that bad boy off. So hit that subscribe button right now for this channel. And while you're at it, check out our other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Now, let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. We've been saying we're going to do that, and I know we keep forgetting to do that, but we are going to do it. We're gonna shout y'all out. I know. We're going to shout y'all out. But for now, thank you so much for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
I'll shout out Frank Avila.
There you go.
From two episodes ago, comment being... Great. Fine. Sign me up.
God, that's good. Is there anyone else? He sounds so resigned to it. Like, all right, fine.
Catherine James, I did subscribe it.
Awesome.
Is a comment.
Nailed it. There we go.
Stony Grow, I would love to see Glacier in the Ice Temple, at least for a one-off, as well as the Boogeyman and Daphne.
Oh, that's a boy. All three of those.
Yeah. And there's a lot of general appreciation.
That should be Famous Bees' next faction group.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, the Chillest Bees?
The Chillest Bees. We're going to keep a list of those. We're going to keep a running tally. We're going to shout all of you out, even if we die trying. That's an AfterBuzz guarantee.
Just picture Senior Cueto going in the freezer at the temple, and there's just frozen Glacier.
Dude, like the
Glacier. Ice. Or there's Heidenreich in the German gimmick that they wanted to do. He's still frozen. He's just frozen back there.
God.
Just leave him back there. It's okay.
I really wish the camera could just follow Antonio Cueto for the entire episode.
It's so cold in here. I got to brush my teeth. Someone give me my sweater. It's so cold.
Speaking of Antonio, let's talk about sacrifice. We're talking about sacrifice episode. That's our theme of the show. And we've got a special tune just for these sacrificial segments. Because I like alliteration. Yes! Thank you so much to Steve Lemieux. He's on the ones and twos. He's incredible. This was all his idea and it was amazing. Let's talk Mr. Pectacular, or as Antonio Cueto calls him, Mr. Pectacle.
Mr. Pectacle.
It's like...
I heard pectickle, like with a feather.
No! I heard...
It sounded like you were getting tickled. No!
I don't like it.
Stay away from me!
I heard pectacle as in it rhymes with spectacle. Ah. He's the pectacle spectacle.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Really quickly, a new member of the Chiller Bees, the Chili Bees.
Uh-huh.
Paul Cross suggests Chill Shot.
Yes. Oh my God. We even got Chill Shot on commentary tonight.
Oh, Glacier. Yep. We gotta do it.
Chill Shot, Glacier, Ice Train from Fire and Ice. Guys, I think this is the second episode in a row we've mentioned Ice Train. The match doesn't last very long. Mr. Pectacular gets sacrificed pretty quickly.
He hits a sweet-ass drop kick.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty much it.
There you
and
go.
Some awesome poses, and then he just vanishes.
Not to jump too much farther to next week, but that's kind of more than Cortez Castro got.
Yeah. He got some cane shots.
Yeah,
he got,
oh, that's right. That's right. Didn't do a whole
work
lot.
Work on the street is you're a cop. And that's not even your real name.
The quickest way.
I want to kill cops.
The quickest way to get the entire temple to turn on you by telling everyone you're a cop.
I bet that's not even your real name. That's,
my favorite was the crowd reaction of the woman going, is he actually a cop? Like just like, what? A police officer?
What? How'd he make it this far?
Wow. Exactly.
That's two jobs. That's two big jobs.
Now let's talk the main event. Episode 3, we've got King Cuerno taking on Chavo Guerrero for the very first Aztec medallion. It was for the first, right? No. I feel like I'm wrong. What
prior weeks, they were given out. I don't remember who they went to.
Who got
they
them?
Were given out.
Well, it's been a long week.
It's been a long week.
With the week off.
And we weren't here last week. Tell us in the chat, who's got medallions? Who got him?
Still a barbecue on the brain.
King Cuerno with his glorious hair.
I love the new look, but I miss the pants as opposed to the trunks now.
Right, exactly.
But it's signaling a change. Similarly to a young Hunter Hearst Helmsley going from paints to trunks. Signaled sort of an evolution of style and character and the type of presence that you carry. It's all about them thighs, man.
Right.
Not Joe Thighs.
Joe Thighs, man.
But it's all about showing those thighs in order to get that little bit extra bit of a rub from the not fit.
You know.
Okay. This went. It's a trophy. Anyway. Thank you for having
there's
me.
There's a lot of if y'all watch the World Cup semifinals today, there's a lot of thigh rubbing going on.
Thigh rubbing
between the normal times and the additional time.
We're getting Joseph Boza says El Dragon Azteca defeated Drago for the first one.
There you go. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate you. Love you. Mean it.
The Bozeman.
The Boz. I like that a lot. I just wanted to let that marinate.
Lucha Underground with Ty Matthews and the Boz. Jimbo in the booth.
I like that we have a reason now why Chavo was back, by the way, because he lost a Loser Leaves Town match a couple seasons ago, but that was Dario's temple. Antonio does not care what rules happened and what canonically happened in Dario's temple.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care that Chavo's back.
No, I know, but I just like that there's a reason.
Okay.
But I like Chavo. I was hoping when he hit the superplex that he was going to turn that into like a Super Three Amigos.
So he was going to throw him into the middle, roll through, get back on the top rope, and then superplex it again, and then roll back
again. I swear to God, I'm doing that. One of my matches soon, I'm going to do that.
It would have been cool if they would have done the spot where they both suplex each other over the top rope.
Oh, God. The Johnny Goodtime / Scott Law special.
Yeah, they both go over. Yeah.
Flip.
He hits one amigo, two amigo. Oh, out of the ring.
Oh. Oh,
and
God.
Then he climbs up to the top of the temple and does it.
Oh no.
Guys, that spot is a hallmark of Scott Lost. If you don't know Scott Lost, go look up his matches. He retired off to the Bahamas, but he was an absolutely phenomenal talent.
Big fat kill.
I love it. One of my favorite moves.
The Three Amigos.
So King Cuerno gets the win with that.
I think he called that the thrill of the kill or the thrill.
Right. The thrill because the thrill of the hunt was the Samoan driver.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Shoot to thrill.
So then that was.
Shoot to thrill.
Thrill seeker.
Ooh. There you go. So Lance Storm and Chris Jericho.
Kill seeker.
So many portmanteaus. So King Cuerno gets one of them medallions. We move on. We already covered the Cortez Castro sacrifice. He gone.
But. One of the things that I wanted to point out between the two is it took Matanza a little bit more in the first match. Like, he did a little bit more before he got the victory and sacrificed Mr. Spectacular.
Uh-huh.
And all it took, he took them cane shots real easy.
Sure.
Did a Wrath of the Gods, and that was it.
Right.
His powers are growing. Like he
interesting,
he
okay.
Does, he,
now it, that the key has been broken.
It's reflecting that the match style so far out of these two are reflecting that he is closer and closer to achieving godhood. That's crazy.
That's pretty awesome. Absolutely.
He's
I didn't even catch that.
Absorbing their energy.
Right?
Yeah.
I picture that when they disappear in their sacrifice, there's just like a room like in Beetlejuice.
The waiting room? Just,
yeah.
It's like, it's like a oh, shit.
Mr. Pectacular just pops up.
It's like, oh, God, I'm so confused. What do I do?
They got teleported to the crime-free Dairy Queen. For all you Monster Factory fans, the crime-free Dairy Queen.
I miss a couple seasons ago when we got the, I forgot the names. Who are the three, what's McCallsits that worked under Memoirs? Oh,
the dark.
Oh.
The three skulls.
Yeah, the three dudes.
Katrina took the dude's heart out.
What did they?
No, no. The one dude took their hearts out.
No.
It's like, why couldn't? Why? And that's sacrificial. And like, they got the power.
Hang on. What was their team name?
I totally forget.
Did they have a team name?
I think so.
They were. Oh man.
Guys.
So many seasons and so many episodes.
So
and
this is
what happens when you take
four.
Huge breaks.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
But that's still one of my favorite scenes of just like, I'm going to rip out your hearts, eat you, and now I'm going to be more powerful.
They were basically like the putties.
Yeah, kind of. They kind of moved like that.
Yeah,
because I remember
looked like that.
It was Sinister de la Muerte, Tracy, and... Man, we are losing a lot.
I'm taking up way too much time in the show to do a flashback.
Remind us once again in the chat. In the meantime, let's talk Ivelisse versus Joey Ryan.
All red Ivelisse.
Which makes me think that I think All Red Everything would do really great.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I love her.
Right.
Eva Marie.
Joey Ryan had her beat. He counted to six.
Six
I won down. Twice.
Yeah, that was so
great.
Disciples of Death.
Oh my God. How did we forget
D&D, man? How could we forget the D&D?
How did we forget that?
A couple of beholders.
Because it was... It's bothering me that I can't think of the third one.
That'll come too.
It was Trece, Sinistra de la Muerte. Nothing.
Darkness.
Nothing. Darkness. Darkness is spreading.
That was a pretty neat suplex Ivelisse did there.
Which,
the one that Vampiro said, that was a pretty neat suplex.
Oh, a nifty suplex. Nifty is my favorite way to describe a suplex.
Does anybody know the number to call in to Lucha Underground? Because I'd like to phone it in.
I thought that was a segue to the 423 get fame, get well soon line.
Nope.
That's great.
Which Good is job. Apparently a thing.
Why wouldn't it be?
You know. Get well soon, famous Brian.
Ivelisse wins with a code red.
Yes. Oh my God. We talked about that. It's the much better, like, fast version of the code red. You know when someone hasn't really done it before, when they sit down first and that's like, all right, now. This was very, very quick. I loved it.
Experienced move takers.
There you go. That's a scientific term.
Nailed it.
For y'all.
Barrio Negro.
There you go.
Thanks, Peg Junk.
You guys are the borscht.
You're the best.
You guys are the borscht.
You guys are cold Russian beet soup.
All right, top red triple threat match.
Yo, I love how they freshened up the formula, because I saw something as a preview of this, like, four medallions are on the line. I was like, how?
Yeah, exactly. So real quick rundown, we've got a triple threat match between the Trios champions. That's the Mac, Killshot, and Son of Havoc for not just one, but two Aztec medallions, because as Antonio Cueto describes, the only man to not get a medallion is the one who will take the fall. The other two men will get medallions, which at first... I didn't really understand, like, okay, what's that adding to the match? But then, and we'll get to the meat of the match, but kind of, you know, warp into the end a little bit. It gave Willie that pathos of, like, okay,
who do I choose?
Okay, you've got both guys dead to rights, but now you decide which one gets an opportunity and which one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty genius.
And it totally makes sense in a story aspect, but I think as a match, too, it makes sense. Because...
Yes.
Killshot was the last person to receive a devastating move. He has, like, what, 4 extra seconds of daze time?
He's on more of a cooldown.
Yeah, exactly. He just used his super.
He just popped his ult.
Yeah, so he can't use a counter. And now he's...
He just popped Earth Shatter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then he just got hacked.
You know. Whomp. God, her rework is going to be nuts. We'll talk about that off air.
Let's do it.
So what do we think about the everything in this match? Because we saw pretty quick right away that obviously it becomes every man for himself. That's another thing that I like about the temple is that, like, when two people are partners and they have to fight, they're not going to spend forever him and Han like, oh, I don't want to hit you. You're cool. It's going to be like, okay, he said we have to fight, so let's just fight. And we'll still be buds, but not really in this case.
It's more about honor.
Yes, exactly.
Willie Mac's agility is untouchable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. His upside down corner twerking.
Yeah. But even what the hell is that?
Right. Yeah, but even just the reverse where he jumped and did like a plié almost. Like legit.
Sure.
Was beautiful. Like yeah. How can a man that big moving that wonderfully?
I will never, ever, ever, ever forget. It was about 8 years ago. It was the first time I ever saw him do the Samoan drop, kip up, standing moonsault combo. Oh. And like, it was one of those things, and this hasn't happened to me very often in wrestling, but like, I literally could not believe what I just saw. Like, it was like a glitch in the Matrix. Yeah, it was nuts.
You saw the cat walk by again.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Did he have the Willy eyes? Because he got the Willy eyes in this match, and you knew he means business.
He done had the Willy eyes. I've known Willy for 13 years now, and the very first thing I knew, or that anyone knew about him, is that he had those eyes, and you never wanted to see those eyes.
The story that all three of these guys got to tell, Killshot was already like, I'm doing this, I'm winning, let's fight, let's go.
Right.
But it took the other two a second. All it took was one strike against Willie for him to go, all right, I'm going to kick y'all ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he was in, but it took a little bit more for Son of Havoc to get into it.
Right.
But I think they buried the lead a little bit in terms of having Killshot be the instigator.
Okay.
Because as we were watching, I went, oh, so Killshot's taking the pin.
Pretty much right away.
What the thing is, it's like he has to be punished story-wise for instigating something between his partners.
Right.
And whether that leads to the fall of them as trios champions or whatever, it was a little bit obvious, but the story that they told in the ring made me forget that I had made that prediction.
Right, exactly.
I hope we get a scene that has them having bagel bites with Grandma of Havoc and just like squashing
and Son of Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm sorry. I wanted the medallion. Here's some bagel bites.
Here, let me get you an ice cold Modelo.
Modelo. This Modelo is lukewarm. Kill him. Sacrifice. Matanza cueto.
He's
having so much fun.
So that means the Mac and Son of Havoc now have two of the ancient Aztec medallions. We've got another medallion match in the main event of this episode, Mil Muertes taking on the Machine Cage. But let's talk about full on alive Katrina.
Okay.
Ooh.
Because so we all saw, I think that might have been last week actually. We might have failed to cover that earlier in the episode. Now we're getting back around to it. She kind of inhales the life force from Phoenix in the casket or the funerary box, if you're nasty.
Hey, yo, girl, you want to get in this funerary box?
Speaking of if you're nasty, I forgot to shout out, if y'all are listening on iTunes, first of all, if you're watching on YouTube, we and you can see our lovely faces, we appreciate it. But also, if you're listening on iTunes, we want to say thank you, and we love you, and we appreciate your support. So remember, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty. We love that support.
He's right.
You know what else we love?
What's
Katrina
that?
In red.
Yes, all red. Once again. All red everything.
So gorgeous.
Yep, absolutely.
Stunning.
And so, Stryker and Vampiro talked a little bit about the importance of color, especially in the temple. It's almost kind of like this Sin City vibe where everything, it's not in black and white, but it kind of feels black and white. And then you get this sort of splash of color, you know?
Or at least the colors are a lot less saturated. Like yes. nothing pops out as much. Even with Ms. Santos, all of the stuff that she wears isn't, like there are some weeks when it's pretty
sure
out there and extravagant and whatever, but these past two episodes she was kind of muted, wearing a little bit more blacks and whites and creams and stuff to sort of fit in. But
right. Well, and
this was pot.
Exactly. And I think to your point, she's also kind of grieving. She's sort of mourning the quote unquote loss of Phoenix as well in grave consequences.
Yep.
So
R.I.P. Phoenix.
R.I.P. Phoenix. Gone too soon. See you at the crossroads.
Yeah.
What else took place in this matchup?
Well, we found out Vampiro likes to garden on Sundays.
He likes to garden on Sundays. That's, hey, It's fine. That's his steez. That's cool.
Making some collect calls also, to commentary.
Big man Lucha. We saw some Haas Lucha.
Dude, that blew my mind. Like, it's one thing when we see Cage be athletic.
It's, because there's a precedent for it. We've seen it before. We've seen him bust out Rana's. Not that it's not still impressive, but we've seen it.
Yeah, but he's a machine. He can do that.
Exactly. But for Mil Muertos to bust out a flying head scissors is pretty gorgeous.
After a Rana.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anything you could do, I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing is that the whole kind of tit for tat was set up with, you know, forearms and punches and lariats, and then it was just like
strongman stuff into Lucha stuff.
Now we're going to do little guy stuff.
You think when he was trapped under all that rubble, he just had time to learn about Lucha?
He's just thinking about it.
He's just like, hey, man, one day I might want to try flying head scissors.
Tell me a story.
Now in my head canon, like, he only went to one show and was kind of half paying attention, but then he was buried under all this rubble, and he's like, I guess I have to think about this for hours. And he just became a supernaturally talented luchador.
But I can't believe that these two haven't fought before.
Have, like, they not one-on-one?
That's what they said on commentary, is that this match has never happened before.
Not in a singles match, yes.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, obviously we saw at Ultima Lucha, their three-way with Sami Callihan. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, Jeremiah Crane.
Whatever, shut up.
You know, you guys know. Y'all know.
You know the craziest part in this match for me?
What's that?
It wasn't even between both the wrestlers. It was with Rick Knox.
Oh, God.
Oh, Rick Knox, man.
So, Marty, was it? No, who took the first ref bump?
Marty took the he took the Reaper's Trident.
He took the spear.
And then Justin takes a discus clothesline.
And then Rick Knox.
Poor Rick Knox. The day and takes one of the nastiest choke slams I'd ever seen in my life.
God.
I could be wrong, but I think this is what broke his collarbone.
Yeah, you're probably right. That was not a pretty landing.
Instead of landing on his back, he landed, like, kind of sideways in the air and bent. So it looked pretty...
He landed the way that, like, a dummy would land if you threw it off the roof. I'm like, Married with Children style.
In Mortal Kombat, when you hit fatalities and it brings that X-ray screen,
yes,
and the bones break.
Exactly,
that's what I pictured.
Exactly, like, exactly.
dummies just get dumped.
I do,
but I would love
nothing
that.
Beats
Nickelodeon
my...
used to do that all the time.
Oh, that's
time.
Right,
it was so great.
There's a group called Waverly Films that used the same footage no matter what sketch it was.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they would, like, throw a dummy, it would be the same shot of them throwing the same dummy off of a roof. So
I have
so
to remember good. That. I have to remember that.
Like Jeff in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh! Can you imagine just one day where they were like, change your shirt, and they just kept throwing them out the
exactly.
door.
So eventually, after all of these shenanigans with the referee happens, Cage looks like he's got Mil Muertos dead to rights on the outside. Hey. All of a sudden, oh, there you go.
Nice.
But rising behind him in such a beautiful moment of cinematography.
Sting!
Just see Sting. It's that gif of him taking off the mask.
Of himself. That's what this reminded me of, even though it wasn't a mask of him, it was just the Lucha Underground.
I don't know
mask.
Why, like, my current knowledge of the wrestling scene left me for a second just because I was so excited. And at first I was like, oh my god, Puma? Forgetting that other people are elsewhere now. But he unzips that hoodie, which is that mask part of that hoodie, by the way? Is that like,
I would be surprised.
That would be awesome.
They make that kind of a product exists, so I wouldn't be surprised if they made a custom one.
Exactly. Anyway, this erstwhile Lucha Underground fan de-hoodies and reveals himself to be Pentagon Dark, who just clobbers Cage with a chair to the skull.
He did a whole bunch of vamping, though.
A whole bunch of vamping.
To the point where Brian Cage would be like, hey, what's going on behind me? Like, I would be like, what's
hey, what's everyone, what? What's everyone talking about?
It would have been better if he did, like, the reach behind. He's, like, touching his face.
He's behind me, isn't he?
It's petting his hair. Over the shoulder from the front. He's right behind me, isn't he?
Or you just hear the record scratch.
And
that's me.
What he knew.
That's
you're
me.
You're probably wondering how I got into this situation. Or I thought you were going to go with, and that's when he knew he fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. he gets thrown back in the ring. Mil Muertos hits the Reaper's Trident, hits the flatliner, wins the medallion. Ooh. Now, he calls for Katrina to do the lick of death, but she's not a personification of death anymore. So she's done licking. You know?
Yeah, because her heart kept ticking.
God damn it.
Kill me.
Now, I'm trying to wrap my head canonically around why she refuses to do this now. Mm-hmm. What do we think? In fact, no. You know what? Should we save that for predicts?
Yeah.
Ooh. Let's save that for predicts. But let's talk this bonkers ending.
Before we get there.
Yes.
So,
what else?
Cuerno, the Mac, Son of Havoc, Mil Muertes, Ivelisse, and Dragon Azteca are the people that hold medallions right now.
So there's only one more left.
Uno más.
Got it. Okay.
But we're also getting a Lucha Underground title match next week.
That's
just
right.
On the impetus of Pentagon Dark.
Hey, by the way, Cage, you just lost, but I hate you, so I'm going to fight you for my title.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of having to win this match and another match and then give me a week's notice, I'm giving you a week's notice.
Exactly.
I'm the smart one.
God, that promo was so good.
Right. And it was, we didn't.
Even if you didn't have Spanish. The subtitles, even if you didn't understand, it would still be
awesome.
It's
pretty general.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, like, we know enough. I don't know if, like,
fair. I don't know if people in Montana are like, what's he saying? Yeah,
people in Billings.
But one of my favorite things about
Cerro Miedo.
Cerro Miedo. One of my favorite things about Lucha Underground, it's one of those weird places where everybody understands every language no matter where it is.
That's true.
Like, I can imagine in universe, Brian Cage looking up at Pentagon Dark and seeing the captions.
Well, everyone's got a babblefish. Everyone's got a babblefish in there.
He's a machine, so he's got like that Terminator vision.
There you go. Like, universal translator.
Nice.
Dun, 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 dun. But let's talk about this whacked out. Yes.
The Terminator vision, and it scans. It's like, wait, that's not a fan. That's Pentagon's mask.
Abort.
Paul Cross says, I saw Pentagon Dark in the standby line.
Cool. That's cool.
They had him stand in line the entire time.
That's pretty dope.
That'd be crazy.
I was at a show once. Ryan Katz was doing this KGB gimmick.
Okay.
And he spent the entire show with like this wig. He asked people for pictures, like no one knew it was him.
Was this at the Fit Pit?
No. And then he came out and like shot fire in someone's face and pulls off the wig and is like, oh man. And like half of us were like, that was Ryan the entire time?
Shout out to GQ Money, Ryan Katz.
Oh, boy.
Love that guy. Over working his butt off at NXT.
Taking pictures with Marcus Riott. Like
exactly.
Had no idea.
But okay. Video. We gotta talk about this ending. Because this very, very, very well me by my favorite like part of the show, just in general.
Of the show Lucha Underground?
Of the entire show.
Which part of this though? When we were getting the rabbit tribe in this weird rabbit.
Okay, house so let's hut? Let's break it down. Let's break it down shot by shot. We're almost done, we promise. Let's break it down. We've got the rabbit tribe waiting in this sort of like Wonka-esque waiting room.
Snozberries.
Exactly, Snozberries, et cetera, et cetera, et al.
One pill.
Yeah, exactly. So Paul Lennon lounging on this tidy chair. We've got Saltador and...
the dude that likes to hump like a rabbit.
Why am I forgetting everyone's names?
He's a little cholo. He looks
Saltador. And Malasorte. Bad luck. Thank you. They're just on each other's laps, and we hear Saltador talk for the first time.
Or do we?
Sounded like the Black Scorpion.
DJ was there. that might have been Joseph. But that voice, whoever it was phenomenal. It was a fantastic choice for that character.
It made you stand on the edge of your seat.
Exactly.
What the
you'll,
hell is
You'll
that
pay for the whole seat, but you'll only use the edge. So... Mascarita's the crowd that comes out, beckons them in, says the White Rabbit will see you now, and we see the debut of this brand new character, who remains unnamed in this segment, I believe.
Presumably the White Rabbit, though.
Presumably, I don't know, I wasn't sure if that was a name or a title.
Well, he wasn't wearing any white, and he didn't look like a rabbit.
Right.
I think it's just a name.
Yeah, just a guy.
Just Joe.
But he's... I guess we can say it for y'all who watch Impact, who are local to the Vegas area. This is Killer Kevin Cross, who is
he leads Mad right in AAA.
Is that okay?
That's like his faction.
I didn't know that.
Him, Juventud, and someone else.
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
because he's been around. He's been in Lucha Underground for several seasons now.
He was like a Dark Match King or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. And so he's finally been slotted into this character, and it is awesome because he very much looks like a killer. Yeah. He's got those very kind of round, almost like Mickey Knox glasses.
Say professional-esque.
Yes, definitely. But his first kind of creed, or his first decree, is to tell the Rabbit Tribe to kill the man that led them there. And so he kind of levitates his staff over to Paul London, who bludgeons Masquerita Sagrada to death.
Not what I expected at all. No.
Right? Yeah, because you thought, like, dude, and that would have been a good call. Okay,
so I envisioned From the Earth to the Moon is the name of that old black and white. They hit the aliens with the umbrella and they turn into smoke and they just poof away.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I pictured. I'm like, Paul London's Paul London's going to be all wacky and he's going to hit him and he's going to disappear and then the Killer Cross is going to be like, "You've chosen wisely, my son. Welcome to the tribe," right, or something. But when
you get much more graphic than that,
the cinematic, like, if you're wearing white, you're going to be covered in blood.
That's all, man.
I couldn't believe it. He just didn't stop.
Exactly.
More blood.
Which that reminds me, we saw almost like the inverse of Masquerita. We saw like the evil Masquerita being kept in a cage to the side of Cross's throne.
Yeah. Like
super
a
weird
March Hare, Black Rabbit, something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I was expecting a Captain Caveman-esque boonk, like something like that.
Right.
And it just, and he like goes into the floor.
And then just X's over his eyes.
Yeah, something, you know, it's the Rabbit Tribe. What the hell are we supposed to expect? Not bloody flipping murder.
Right.
Or that Kane turns into a carrot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is this? And it's like, you made the right decision, but he's still my dude. Right. But now we have evil Sagrada.
And I think that's why we were so surprised, is because it's not that we haven't seen this level of gore. Obviously we have, just not in this particular corner of the temple.
Weirdo dudes.
It's always been kind of the levity and the comic relief. And, like, Bale will get his head eaten elsewhere. These guys are just gonna, you know, have wacky adventures.
We've got a story note from Paul Cross. From Paul Cross. Cross's trousers had the same print as the White Rabbit's vest from the original Alice in Wonderland.
Jeez, what an eye! Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's very cool.
So I wonder if they're presenting him as the White Rabbit, if there are going to be any more Alice in Wonderland-esque stuff.
Sure. You know. Interesting. So much good stuff. Steven, do we have a time to get into some quick predicts? Yes.
Oh, we do. Oh, give us the long one.
You're after Buzz TV. Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
We got both.
Double it up because there are two episodes.
Now, what do we think about Katrina refusing to do the Lick of Death? Where do we think that's going?
Well, it was interesting because she kind of blew it. She like blew a kiss, but
she blew a lick to Mel.
But she still has the stone. She didn't disregard the stone.
Uh-huh. I didn't even notice she had the stone.
She still had the stone when she walked into the back, and Mel followed her right back. He didn't seem angry once he got out of the ring.
I see.
So I think we'll probably see a scene about it.
Okay.
But I think she just met she's starting to lose her power now that she's not an embodiment of death.
Mm-hmm.
And a lick of death doesn't have any meaning if you can't impart that onto somebody.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's no point for her to lick them anymore because she's not going to get their power and she's not going to be able to give it to him. Maybe that's why.
So
he's like, wait a minute, I pin him, you lick him, I get his energy. And now she's like, no, I don't do that anymore.
Interesting. Okay.
That was college Katrina.
So maybe, so the lick of death kind of siphoned the power and then they sort of split it between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. It's like suck and blow.
It's like, you know, with the card.
Lucha Underground, the old suck and blow.
Incredible. And then from there, where do we think that the Rabbit Tribe is going to go from here?
I'm stealing this from Dang MQ. Yes. I think with how all of the impetus that's being put on this new character and on this tribe, it looks like Lucha Underground season 4, Wabbit season. That's Dang MQ.
On that note, guys,
duck season.
You better duck.
Oh man!
Yes, absolutely.
You better duck or you're gonna be bludgeoned to death by Kane.
I really want a rabbit season, duck season with King Cuerno.
Oh my god! Absolutely.
Rabbit season,
guys. Thank you so much for joining us for this special doubled up edition of the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. 8-Bit Creed is gonna take us out, but for now, guys, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Usually Wednesday's the place where you can find the NXT After Show. We didn't run today because everybody was all over the valley doing all sorts of things, but we should be back next week. And we might have an announcement soon in terms of air dates and things like that. We're working it out. We're family working out the NXT After Show. We miss the holiday. We miss today. But we miss you. So make sure to stay tuned here to AfterBuzz TV Wrestling.
Jimbo, go.
Follow me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth.
Guys, you can find me online, all forms of social media, at Ty Matthews PMA. I'm right here, Wednesday nights. I'm on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Saturday nights. Go check that out. But we'll be right back here, same time, same channel, next week, talking episode 5. But guys, until then, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.